Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On this second Sunday in Advent, we move one step closer to the threshold of the stable where our Savior will soon be born again into our hearts. The season is traditionally a season of repentance for that reason. It's a time for us to examine our lives and examine our hearts in order to expose all the sins and the shortcomings that stand between us and between the manger where our Savior was laid. We want to come to the manger of our Savior with hearts that are thoroughly ready to sing his praises and to receive every blessing that he wants to pour out upon us. It would indeed be wonderful if we could come to Christmas this year with every sin that keeps nagging us conquered, every problem that weighs us down totally resolved, every difficulty that bogs down our hearts removed and taken away. It would be wonderful if Christmas could be that kind of new start wherein everything begins fresh and new and clean again, just like the birth of a baby. But if we're realistic, we know that this is not necessarily going to happen. Problems, difficulties, sorrows, and nagging sins that may be with us this morning could still very well be with us after Christmas has passed. Yet on Christmas, we'll all join in singing in the words of the hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight, Jesus. In a powerful way, and in spite of our failings, our hopes and fears really are met in the Lord Jesus at his birth. This is called Christian hope. The belief that things can become something new, even though that hasn't happened yet. And this sounds strange. Do you mean that even if my problems are not resolved, I can live as though they are, because they will be? Precisely. What about the tensions in my relationship, in my home, in my marriage, my family, my workplace? Do you mean that I can live as if those tensions and troubles have been overcome, that peace has come, love has come, even though neither one of them has totally yet in my life, but they will? Exactly. What about the weaknesses and failures that still accompany me as I move toward the manger of Jesus steadily again this Advent season? Do you mean that I should live as though those things have already been overcome because they will be? Yes, precisely. That is what is called Christian hope. That is the Advent hope that is our Advent power through Jesus. And it's about that kind of Christian hope that the Apostle Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome in our sermon text this morning from Romans chapter 15. The book of Romans is one of the most powerful messages in all of the Bible. It speaks about the utter sinfulness and helplessness spiritually of all humankind. It makes emphatically clear God's answer for sin, that while we were still sinners, deserving nothing good from God, Christ died for us, the righteous one for us unrighteous sinners. The birth of our Savior Jesus in Bethlehem is the beginning of God's great action in coming to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ, for us sinners, so that we might have eternal life with him. The Christians in Rome believed this good news, the good news of God's love for them through Jesus, just as we believe it today. But that didn't mean that things were automatically all perfect for them as a result. In the preceding chapter, Romans chapter 14, The Apostle Paul had addressed a problem that had separated these people from each other, that had caused factions and divisions within their church. They were all believers in Jesus, but they weren't all getting along with each other, and the problem seems rather petty, rather minuscule to us today. They were arguing, Paul writes to them, about diets, different preferences for what to eat and what to avoid, and for different days to observe as special or not. The Jewish Christians observed one day as the proper day of worship, the Sabbath day, Saturday, while the Gentile Christians observed another day. We can imagine that day was Sunday, as many other of the early Christians observed, to commemorate the resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday. But there were still other Christians who said that every day ought to be considered holy, a day of worship. And also some of the Christians in Rome were vegetarian. They felt that it was improper to eat meat, but others said, no, we can freely eat meat. And those different perspectives had to do with the fact that very often the meat that was offered for sale in the marketplace had, prior to being sold, been offered as a sacrifice to one of the false gods that the Romans worshipped. So some Christians felt it was tainted as a result, and they should not eat it. But in their own ways, each of those groups was right and wrong about those different opinions, because none of them really fully understood Christian liberty. They didn't understand that not only are we free in Jesus, who has fulfilled the ceremonial law of the Old Testament, but also that God has set us free for the good of others. He wants us to be sensitive to the consciences of those who don't yet fully understand all the freedom that we have in Jesus. Those Christians in Rome didn't understand that God reads the heart of faith, not the religious diet or the special days of observance. The Apostle Paul did an interesting thing about those arguing factions in the church in Rome. He wrote to them about dropping those differences and instead with one voice praising God. And he told them to accept one another. And then he reminded them of God's faithfulness by citing a number of prophecies about the Jews and the Gentiles in verses 9 through 12 of our reading. And the Apostle Paul expresses, by quoting those prophecies from the Old Testament, he expresses concern about their divisions and the desire for them to be reconciled and reunited. What's unusual in what Paul does here is that he framed this plea for unity with an appeal to Christian hope. In verse 4, and in verse 13 of our reading, the opening and closing verses of this section. In verse 4, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For whatever was written in the past," meaning the scriptures of the Old Testament, "was written for our instruction, so that through patient endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we would have hope." And then he ended this section in verse 13 with these words, "May the God of hope fill you with complete joy and peace as you continue to believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." But at that time, the Christians in Rome weren't yet praising God with one voice. Instead, they were arguing with one another. They weren't fully accepting each other. Instead, they were shunning and condemning each other. The situation seemed hopeless, yet Paul spoke to them as though the problem was already resolved and that they could praise God with one voice and could accept one another. The Apostle Paul was writing about Christian hope, true hope, not the kind of hope expressed in the words like, "Well, I hope you Christians at Rome would get along with each other," but rather live like you are getting along right now. That is Christian hope. Have you ever had a problem that was so pressing that it was all you thought about day and night? When you went to sleep, you may have slept, but not really to get rest, just because you were simply exhausted from having that burden weighing down on you all day. And then when you awoke the next morning, well, then the problem returned with a rush to the pit of your stomach, gnawing away inside you. Maybe you came to church, but you couldn't really hear or digest the sermon. You couldn't pray. You could only think about that problem until you lost hope of it ever being resolved. Have you ever had problems with other people that never seemed to get resolved and that made you want to give up on them or on yourself? To give up, to act as if things won't change, is to live without Christian hope. And that really is a form of unbelief, a lack of faith in the power and the promises of God. It is to not believe the power of the birth of Jesus and his completed salvation. The Apostle Paul's words here in our reading seem to ignore our problems and instead to say emphatically, may the God of patient endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. How can that help you to resolve the problems you have and truly celebrate Christmas with a glad and joyful heart? Let's think a little more. Have you ever gone to church angry? Have you ever come here bearing a hurt or a grudge and almost choke on the words of worship? Did it seem to you that day that the sermon touched upon one raw nerve, that one sin or grudge or weakness, almost as though the preacher had read your mind, even though you hadn't mentioned the problem to him before, or that he somehow had inside information on your hidden life? To say that you can't forgive, to say that you can't be forgiven, to say that you are too weak or too sinful for God to work his mighty power in your life is to live without Christian hope. And again, to live without Christian hope is a form of unbelief. It is to not believe in the power of the birth and completed work of Jesus our Savior. Again, the words of the Apostle Paul seem to ignore that problem and to say emphatically, accept one another as Christ has accepted you for the glory of God. How can that help you to resolve the problem you have before December 25th so that you can celebrate Christmas with a glad and joyful heart? We continue. The quotations that the Apostle Paul uses from the Old Testament in our reading go all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy written by Moses, to the Psalms and other writings of God's prophets. All of these prophecies, all of these promises about the Gentiles mention God's plan to unite the Gentiles, non-Jewish people, and the Jews, God's chosen people from the Old Testament, together in God's plan of salvation. But that didn't happen until Jesus came, hundreds or even more than 1,000 years after the words of these prophecies had originally been spoken and written in the Bible. God gave these promises, but those words were all that God's people had to go on. They did not see the fulfillment of those promises themselves. But now looking back, the Christians in Rome to whom Paul was writing saw these promises, and we also can see exactly how God carried out his plan throughout all those years, throughout all those centuries and millennia, and we celebrate the fulfillment of his plan ultimately in the birth of his son, Jesus, our Savior. And yet the people who received those promises could not see what we now can see. All they could do was hope. And to hope for them was to live as though those promises would indeed come to pass because God had made those promises. Those who believed and lived in those promises were the faithful people of Israel. Now there were many of them who did not believe and who were not faithful. And that is what hope is, to believe the promises and to live as though they have already come to pass, even though they have not yet. And so perhaps you also can look back on circumstances in your own lives, times when things were terribly dark and grim, when everything seemed to be hopeless. And then in those times, all you could do was cling to the promises of God. You could not read the future, but you could read the faithfulness of your God, and you could hope in Him. And perhaps now, looking back at some of those times in your past, you can now see the hand of God at work, even in the midst of those grim and dark circumstances. You can now praise God for having led you through those times into the present. Your problems, sins, weaknesses, and sorrows may still be with you when Christmas comes this year, when you stand again at the manger of Jesus and sing praises to God and give Him thanks for sending the Savior. Those problems may even continue to plague you right up until next Christmas, a year from now. And that doesn't mean that you are less of a Christian. That doesn't mean that you can't celebrate Christmas and all of its joy. Not if you have Christian hope. Hope in God's forgiveness, which makes you clean each and every day, even if you don't always feel that way. No one can tell you how exactly your problems will be resolved. But the Bible does tell us to live as though the problems already have been resolved, because through our faithful God, they can and they will be. That is Christian hope. To live as though the tensions in your life, in your family or marriage or work will be overcome is to live in hope, trusting in God's power. To live as though the weaknesses and failures that still accompany you to the stable this Christmas have been overcome is to live in hope, trusting in God's power. To live in hope is to hope in God. God who will not fail you and who will always come through on His promises. The birth of our Savior Jesus on Christmas is evidence of God keeping His promises. And then the greater event on Good Friday, when Jesus Christ died for all of your sins and cleansed you from everything that stood between you and your God and between you and other people, that is the guarantee of the hope in which you and I live through faith. Christian hope focuses on that beautiful and wonderful love of God that we see at the manger of Jesus and at His cross. It's the guarantee that there are no other guarantees that can give us any hope, any true and lasting hope at all. And that is why we celebrate Christmas as still today, every year, not merely as an event of long ago. The Christmas event tells us that the same Lord Jesus Christ who so faithfully loved us by becoming one of us and by being the righteous one for us, that He is still working His miracle of love in our lives and in the world today. What has happened is that He has conquered sin and evil and spiritual death. What is happening is that He is still doing that. And that is our hope that makes no situation hopeless. We can hope even through tears, because the hopes and fears of all the years truly are met in Jesus Christ on that great Christmas night. And so, may the God of hope fill you with complete joy and peace as you continue to believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.